All right, Book of Judges, chapter 17. This evening's title is A God That Gets Ripped Off. What kind of God get ripped off? Maybe it's not real God, huh? Let's start. We have seen ugly repetition of the history of Israel in the Book of Judges again and again. It started with Israel in the place of blessing from God, because they were following God. They were serving Him. And then there is a departure from God, and they do evil things, such as idol worship. And they, you know, funny thing is that they conquered this land, promised land, correct? This pagan kingdom. And they have a pagan gods. Why would you worship the pagan gods that couldn't even protect their own country? No logic. But they still do. They went because, you know what they say? Your neighbor's yard is greener than your yard, right? They don't realize that it's around the septic tank. So they follow their own ways. As a consequence, they end up in the slavery of the foreign nations. In their slavery, they cry out to God, and God hears their cries. In His never-ending mercy and love for them, He sent out the judges, the national leader, and rescued them. So Israel come back to the place of a blessing and become a nation that served God. Guess what happened? They go back to that silliness. And they lapse into sin and turn from Him again. Israel went through how many times of this apostasy? 7 times. They didn't do it once or twice. They did it 7 times, repeated 7 times. Some biblical scholars believe that the event described in chapter 17 through 21 happened, took place all year period of the judges. How do they know? Because as we see, that they did not have a metal weapons. One of the first things that Philistine did is they took away any metal weapons from the Israelis. They took away all the metal weapons. Did you notice, if you are a history buff, you would notice Nazi did that. They took away all the firearms from the people of Germany. Mao Zedong, the tyrant of the Chinese communist country, that's the first thing they did. Guess what? There's a certain group of people who wants to take your gun away from you. Do you know why? Is it truly because of gun? They are scared of the criminals having a gun? No, criminals will, you know, by definition of our law, is that they don't follow the law. Am I correct? They will get a gun no matter what. Only people who would lose a gun is the people who are law-abiding citizens. All right, that's beside the point. Every nation in the history of mankind goes down in this order. Number one, spiritual apostasy. They don't care about God. Second problem is moral decay. The moral pretty much goes down the hip to the ground, or worse. That caused political collapse. Now, are you with me? This is very important. Are you guys done? Deterioration begins with the individual heart and in the church, then to the home, and finally to the nation. That is the way a nation falls. And America is at the third stage. Would you agree? And you may say, well, are you sure we are spiritual apostasy? Really? The young people don't know who Jesus Christ is, but they do know that how they can use His name in vain. You know, moral decay, and you say, what moral? So we are in the third stage. All right, let's stop and pray. Father, we come to You. and seek your truth, and from your word, not from man's mouth. Father, we don't want to hear anything that comes from man's mouth or opinion. Not worth anything, Father, but your truth stands forever. Your word said, let the heaven and earth pass away, but Jesus said, my word will not pass away. Father, your word come alive tonight. You speak to us through the Holy Spirit's clear teaching that we may hear from you. And let us learn not to have idols in our heart, no matter what it is, including ourselves. Father, we pray that you teach us and anoint our heart to understand, anoint the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 17 in Judges, please. Now there was a man from the mountain of Ephraim whose name was Micah. Great name. My grandson's name is Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that was taken from you, on which you put a curse, even saying that in my ears, here is the silver with me, I took it. And his mother said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my son. So when he had returned 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, mother said, you know, so far everything is good, right? I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son. If she stopped there, it would have been great. But she continued, to make a carved image and molded image, now therefore I will return it to you. Thus he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took the 200 shekels of the silver and gave them to the silversmith, and he made it into the carved image and molded image, and they were in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Note verse 6, please. Very important. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Remember, interpretation is not observation. Don't tell me what we just, don't summarize what we read, here. But I want you to tell me what you're getting from this as a principle. All right, I'm waiting. Okay, what does it mean to George?
Well, I was in hit, shoot you, I can do this, I can do that.
Okay. Okay, so what would you do with that kind of thing? Okay, all right. Yes. Good, self. Okay, good one. Who else? Because they do whatever they want, right? You follow me? It's all about themselves. Who else? This is what I found. It is not difficult to have an idol in our hearts if the Lord is not the center in our life. Once you remove God, anything can go. Are you with me on that? As I said before, the God established three institutions for mankind. Number one is marriage. Number two is church. Number three is government. Number one, you can say it as a family. When God wedded Adam to Eve in the garden, he laid a foundation for the social institution humanity would build. When their foundation crumbles, society began to fall apart. That is why the devil attacked families so much. He knows that once the families crumble under his attack, because of the lack of obedience to God's word, then the rest will crumble in the matter of time. Are you with me? I mentioned this to you, but I will say it again because this is important. When Karen and I were at the Calvary Tucson, I was one of those person who get pulled into just about any direction. So was Karen. She was involved in many different ministries. One particular Sunday, there was not enough counselors for the prayer room. So associate pastor told me, to go inside, you pray with the people. I walked in, and there was a woman. She said, I want to divorce my husband. What she wanted, she wanted a blessing from the church. I said, did he commit adultery? She said, no. What is he beating you? She said, no. Then you don't have a biblical ground. Even if he's beating you, even if he's beating you, I would not recommend you to divorce him. Put yourself in a safe place. But put him in the prison. Do whatever you have to keep yourself safe. But since he's not beating you, since he didn't commit adultery, you don't have a biblical ground to divorce him. She looked at me like, how dare you tell me that, look. And then that pretty much ended there, and I prayed for her. A few weeks later, I saw her again this time. Guess what she didn't have? So she went through divorce. In other words, she did whatever she wanted to do. Remember what we recite at the beginning of the study? The Word of God? What? The absolute truth? And what does it say? Final authority. That means this thing overrides what I think. Are you with me on that? It doesn't matter what I think, what doesn't matter what I want, or what my opinion is. If this thing says no, that means what? They didn't care for God, so they did whatever they wanted. By our fallen nature, mankind want to make God into our own image. Something tangible we can see and touch. And many religious people carve their own concept of God and assume that this is the God of the Bible. Remember? Aaron shaped a calf, golden calf, and what did he say? This is the God who led you out of Egypt. And it takes effort and obedient heart to understand and accept him and his way. When unbeliever claims that the loving God would accept them with their sin and just forgive them and go on with their business as usual, what they said is half correct. They choose to see the side of God's love and mercy and grace, but they try very hard to ignore the side of God's holiness and righteousness. Are you with me on that? Don't try to think that God would let you get away with anything that you want to do. God is God of holiness, God of righteousness. And he would not put up with or wink at our sins. Micah did everything, the guy who had that made this idol, he did everything he could to set up the rival religion in Israel. All of this came from the Micah and not from God. It's a completely human-originated, human-centered religion. Therefore, the purpose of the shrine, beautiful ephod and attractive idols, and established priesthood was to serve the pleased man, not God. What was the tabernacle at this time? Anybody remember? Shiloh. Way down south. At this time, this location is way on the north side. They would not travel down there to worship God properly. And guess what? Many religions is doing the same thing. How many religion or the sect or whatever you want to call have a carved image? Catholic is one of them. Catholicism embraces all these carved images, don't they? They say they pray to the idols. And there's some Protestant church also, they also said pray to the idols. Oh, they don't call it idol. They call it pray to icons. Icon is a nice way to saying idols. Nothing more. Because Micah and his family did not submit to the authority of God's word, their home was a place of religious and moral corrupt and confusion. But their home was a mess like many homes today, and where the money is the god of the family's worship, and where the children steal from their parents and lie about what they do, where the family honor is unknown, and where the true God is unwanted. You follow me? Television provides all the image the family will ever want to worship, and a few worries about the wrath of God. If you think, oh, I'm exaggerating too much, think about this. How many times do you see about the celebrity's lifestyle on TV? There's one program completely dedicated for that. Entertainment Tonight. They're chasing after these celebrities, what they do, what they drink, where they go, what they wear. Verse 6 shows what kind of mindset the people of Israel had. It's almost identical to what is happening in America today. Go down to verse 7, please. We have a lot to cover, so we need to move on. Now, there was a young man from Bethlehem. We do not know this guy's name. In Judah. Of a family of Judah, he was a Levite and was staying there. The man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountain of Ephraim, to the house of Micah as he journeyed. Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" So he said to him, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah. I am on my way to find a place to stay." Micah said to him, "Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me. I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of this clothes, and your sustenance." So Levite went in, verse 11. Then Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and young man became his priest, and lived in the house of Micah. Verse 13. Then Micah said, "Now," note this, guys, "now I know that the Lord will be good to me since I have a Levite as a priest." All right, give me your interpretation, please. I'm sorry?
Bad company.
Good, good one. Who else?
No,
not he. What to do with James?
The reply to me is me trying to do it my way. And by doing all these things, get God's favor.
So you think that you do your way and still think that you're doing God's favor? Are you Frank Sinatra saying that did it my way?
Nope.
Okay. Who else? Anyone?
Say I'm doing then it soon.
Sometimes we say, I will be on God's side. That's better than God being on my side. Do you know the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to pull God to your side is wrong. It's better for you to go to God's side. Okay, this is my interpretation. True shepherds receive their calling and authority from God, not from a seminary ordination. Why do I say that? I'm going to explain more a little bit later. A young Levite had been living in the Bethlehem of Judah. That's not one of the Levites' designated place. Levites could not live anywhere they want, according to the God's law. They had to live in a certain area. And Bethlehem was not one of them. The reason why he was there, and in my opinion, he probably got there because there was not support for the ministry of Levites. So he had to go look for the place to make a living. When God's people grow indifferent to godly things, one of the first pieces of evidence of their apathy is a decline in their giving to the work of the Lord. As a result, everybody suffers. Am I making sense? That means if you don't want to do what God wants you to do, one of the first things you don't do is giving to God. Let me ask you this. Does God need your money?
No.
Yes, no?
No.
God paved the street with gold. Do you know any rich people who paved their driveway with gold? Nobody, not even Jeff Bezos. God doesn't need your money, but you and I need the faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we give to God. And thinking that you need this much, you are willing to live this much because you give this much to God. That's a faith. You giving away this much and God expect that God is going to fill that portion with the faith. And He does every time. In the Bible, throughout the Bible, God says, do not test Him. Am I correct? Except one area. The narrow. Money. Giving, exactly as George said. This young Levite wanted to do what was right in his own eyes and went about offering himself as a priest for hire wherever he could find a place. Instead of seeking the mind of the Lord, he set out to find a place to live and work, even if man's abandoning his calling as a servant of God. So this Levite was a hireling, not a true shepherd, because he did not serve the true and living God. He worked for Micah and in the idols. And Levite was not a spokesperson for the Lord. He gave the people just a message they wanted to hear. Oh, how many pastors in America just do that, and same kinds of awful things in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you guys know this because I talked about it. There is a movement that's been around and still around, known as a seeker-sensitive church. Are you familiar with that term?
Yeah.
Seeker-sensitive church, they will talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for your sin. They stop there. They don't say, if you don't repent from your sin, and they don't go on. They don't talk about sins because it sounds so awful. If we don't confess our sin, that means we are holding the sin behind our back. Do you think God would accept our attitude? Yes, no. It's not what they say. It's what they don't say. Whenever church has a hireling, it cannot enjoy the blessing of God. The church needs true and faithful shepherd who works for God and not for personal gain, who will stay with the flock to feed them, to protect them. The true shepherds don't see their work as a career and run off to the better job when the opportunity comes. They stay where God puts them and don't move until He sends them. One thing I like about Calvary Chapel is usually Calvary Chapel pastor start a church and he stayed there until he retired or God called him home. And it's not like a Methodist church. Do you know, I heard this from the one pastor, literally I heard it from the Methodist pastor. He said, I have a 3-year worth teaching because I move from church to church every 3 years. So he can just rebake what he already taught. Hey, it's a different congregation. Nobody knows, right? How easy life that is. True shepherd receive their calling and authority from God, not from the seminary ordination. It must grieve the Lord today to see the people worshiping the idol of a ministerial success, statistics, and buildings and reputations. Please do not measure the success of ministry according to how much money they have or how many people they have in the congregation. If that's the case, ministry of Prophet Jeremiah would be a nothing, wouldn't it? Do you know how many people were converted during the ministry of Prophet Jeremiah? None, exactly. But Jesus talked about the Prophet Jeremiah more than anyone else. In today's consumer society, self-appointed preacher, apostles, and prophets were no problem getting their followings and peddling their religious wares to the church, and that acts more like a Hollywood fan club than holy peoples of God. The people like this young Levites and Micahs always find each other because they need each other. It's a matter of supply and demand. Go to the 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Yeah, my bad. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 31. Not 3, not 31. So you guys are so picky. Chapter 4, verse 3. You there? For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Get that, guys? Because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers. That's what's happening. The sad part of this story is that Micah now thought that he had a favor of God because genuine Levitical, the priest serving at his private shrine. Micah practiced false religion and worshiped a false god and with a little bit flavor of genuine God for good measure. And all the while he rested on the false confidence that God is blessing him. Little did he know that would be all taken away. Verse 1 of chapter 18, please. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and in those days, the tribe of Danite was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their inheritance among the tribe of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent the 5 men of their families from their territory, the men of valor, from Zorah to Eshtol, to spy out the land and search it. And they said to them, "Go search the land." They went to the mountains of Ephraim and to the house of Micah and lodged there. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of a young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me and I have become his priest. So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey of which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to him, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." So 5 men departed and went Laish. And they saw the people were there and how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians. They had no ties with anyone. So the spies came back to their brethren in Zorah and Eshtol. And the brethren said to them, "What is your report?" And they said, "Arise, let's go up against them, for we have seen the land. Indeed, it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go. Enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to the secure place, a large land, for God has given it to your hand, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." 600 men of the family of the Danite went from there, from Zorah and Eshtol, armed with the weapons of war. Then They went up and encamped in Kiriath-Jearim in Judah. Therefore, they called the place Mahanathan to this day. There it is, west of Kiriath-Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountain of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Anyone? Okay, that's one of the interpretations. Okay, good. All right, who else? Okay, what's that got to do with the Bob? Good. Excellent point. Good. Did you guys get that? In other words, don't ask Catholic priest for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive your sins. Okay, who else? Let me ask you this. This five spies mission, was that legitimate one? Yes, no. Why? No, they went before they got permission from this Levite. They went on. That's the thing. They should have waited upon the Lord to get the lot at the allotted land. They didn't. They just went on by themselves. In other words, this is my interpretation. Once we reject the will and authority of God, there is no limit sin we are not willing to commit. Am I making sense? They went on to the place where they don't belong, and they killed all these people for what? For their own benefit. It was not God's assignment. Am I making sense? Instead of submitting to God's will, people want what somebody else has, and they will do almost anything to get it. Corruption and covetousness that are in this world are fed by our selfish, evil desires. Whether it's producing pornography, selling dope, and promoting gambling, money-hungry people cater to the human carnal desires and end up making money and destroying people's lives. And you may say, well, I don't do any of those things. Okay? But do you do anything in selfish motive? I'm sure there's a few things you can think of that was not right. Thanks to the power of the modern media, especially television, advertising industry created people's appetite for all sort of exciting product, service, and experience. People go out, spend money they don't have on the things they don't need, and to impress people who really don't care about. Am I making sense? I tell this people to those who are struggling with the finance. Sometimes they buy something. I ask them, why did you buy this when you don't have money? You know what their response is? It was such a great deal. Have you ever heard that? Couldn't pass it because it's such a great deal. It's not a great deal when you don't have money. Buying necessity is a good, important deal. What?
Strike it on your credit card.
Yeah.
And pay it later.
Sure. How many people end up in the racking the credit card up to the eyeballs because of that? If the tribe of Dan really wanted God's counsel, they could have consulted with a high priest in Shiloh. But they actually rejected God's counsel by refusing to remain in the land, and he assigned them. Verse 6 shows that what spiritual confusion time this was in Israel. Since somebody else is paying the priest, then I despise on sinful mission, ask a sinful Levite if their mission would be successful. And this sinful Levite sent the sinful man on their way with a false God's blessing. Talk about sickening process. Am I making sense? Verse 14. Then five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, Do you know that there are these houses on Ephrath, household idol, carved image, molded image? Now, therefore, consider what you should do. So they turned aside and came to the house of a young Levite man, to the house of Micah and greeted him. The 600 men armed with the weapons of war were who were in the children of Dan and stood by the entrance of the gate. And the 5 men who had gone to spy out the land went up, and entering there, they took the carved image, ephod and household idol, and the molded image. Priests stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with the weapons of war. When this went into the Micah's house, took the carved image, ephod. Do you know what the ephod is? Any of you guys know what the ephod? Huh? Okay, good. Some people don't know what the ephod is. Consider it the priest's uniform, okay? It's a decorated, very decorated. Household idols and molded image, the priest said to him, "What are you doing?" They said to him, "Be quiet, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be priest of the tribe and the family in Israel?" So priest Hod was glad, and he took the ephod and household idols, carved image, and took his place among the people. Then they turned, departed, and put the little ones and livestock and the good one in front of them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the house near Micah's house gathered together, overtook the children of Dan, and they called out the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" Verse 24. So he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, the priests. You have gone away, and now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ailed you?'" The children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. And I'm sure his face was kind of sullen. So they took the things Micah had made, the priest who had belonged to him, went to Laish, to the people quiet and secure, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with a fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was the valley belonged to the Beth Rehob. So they rebuilt the city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of the Dan, their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Israel then set up themselves, and a carved image, and Jonathan, son of the Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his son were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. They set up themselves the Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Okay, explain a little more. You just described what it says, but I want you to come up with the interpretation.
You say going back and
see. Okay, still in observation. What's that got to do with James? Okay, good. All right. Who else? Anyone? What kinds of idols do we set up in our lives? Good. Okay, let's list what kinds of idol can we have. Huh? Anybody or anything. What about hobbies? Can hobby be a... What about job? What about your spouse? Or children? Or your pet?
Anything takes place of God is enough.
Yes, exactly. Anything takes the place of God is an idol. Those things may not have a shape, any particular shape, or is not in a stature. Somebody wrote this. This guy across the street from this writer's home, he has this classic car. Every week he buff and polish this car. And then he walk around the car and just admiring. Would that be an idol?
Yep.
Yes. What good is it for that idol to crash and then crumble? I saw a car. I don't know what that person did. You know, one of those traffic pole that do not pass this area. There's a Bayer toll. Mm-hmm. This guy literally put the car front wrapped around. How fast do you have to go to slam that into that thing? Literally just wrapped like this. And I'm sure he was thinking, oh, there goes my insurance, if he was awake. Here's my interpretation. We either worship a God of our own making, or we worship the true God who made us. The gods we make are always less than we are. Huh? No, that's coming later. You're such in a hurry. No, not yet. Yes, I'm reading, but that's my interpretation. This is a strange combination of the low morality and a strong religious feeling. Excuse me. Remember the Los Angeles riot? It happened in the 1990s. A reporter came across three looters who was coming out from this store. And he stopped the first two guys and he asked them, "What are you taking?" They gave him the earful of profanity to him. Third one stopped and smiling to the camera. He said, "I got myself gospel music because I love Jesus." I said, "Wow, that's a great action." From verse 22, we see the pathetic irony. Micah had to rescue his own God. Somebody took his God, and the God couldn't even protect himself. Obviously, his God should be supposed to be able to handle himself. Wonder if Micah realized how foolish that is. I don't know if you ever heard this guy's name, Toyotomi Hideyoshi, and you're thinking Gesundheit, right? This guy, Japanese warlord, who ruled over Japan in the late 1500s, commissioned a gigantic statue of a Buddha in the shrine in Kyoto. It took 50,000 men for 5 years to build. And the work scarcely had been completed when the earthquake, one of the frequent earthquakes that happened in Japan in 1596, brought down the roof of the shrine, crashing down and wrecked the statue. In his rage, Hideyoshi shot an arrow to the fallen Buddha, and he said this, "I put you here at great expense," he shouted, "and you cannot even look after your own temple." What good is it? Idol. Here it is. We either worship a God of our own making, or we worship the true God who made us. The God we make are always less than we are. Idol worship is just another way of worshiping self. As I was writing this, I was thinking, I only saw one Star Wars, the beginning, the early one, the original one. I noticed all the Star Wars alien characters look like a human. Did you notice that? They all have eyes, they all have a nose, they all have ears, and then after that is a different thing. Human imaginations are great, but there's a limitation. We only copy what we see. Our idol is nothing more than a representation of ourselves. Once we start to reject God and make our own idols, whether it's in statue, picture, or the thing in the garage, or thing in the bank account, it's all less than what God has made. Are you with me on that? The city of Dan became a most prominent northern city in Israel. And the phrase from, have you ever heard of Dan to, from Dan to Beersheba? In the Bible, Dan from Dan to Beersheba is saying like a, from Maine to Hawaii, from coast to coast, from the north to south, all over Israel. And it became an important tribe. And it, this was the beginning of establishing idolatry in Israel, in the promised land. There was individual idolatry in Israel long before this, but this is official idolatry in Micah's. Personal idolatry became an idol of the entire tribe and set up the rival center of worship in the house of God in Shiloh. All right, can you give me a, your own application? Don't look at mine. Don't look at mine. Give me an application. What can you apply into your life from this, from our study? Yes, Mikey? Good. Then you don't have idols, right? No, John. John. They, it's all right. They all look alike. Yeah. Good.
Possessions from person to person.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Whether you believe or not, before I became a Christian, God was my God. And some of you are thinking, isn't it still? No, it isn't. It's a hobby. It's really a hobby. There's a difference. It doesn't matter what my wife Karen started the conversation with. I finished with a gun. So she stopped talking to me. I don't blame her. And when I became a Christian, there was one thing that I told everybody, I even told myself, I will never sell this particular gun because it was a fine-tuned machine. Guess what the Lord did? He convinced me to sell that thing, whole nine yard, and then I bought a guitar so I can lead the worship at the prison ministry. And you're thinking, you led the worship? Yes, I did. They were captive audience. Where would they go? All right, two applications. Wherever the church has a hireling, it cannot enjoy the blessing of God. The church needs a true and a faithful shepherd who works for the Lord, not for the personal gains. Second application. We already talked about this. We either worship a God of our own making or we worship the true God who made us. The God who we make are always less than we are. Idol worship is just another way of worshiping self. Am I making sense? In our midst, we have a doctor, brilliant doctor. She's a real doctor, but sometimes I get one of those internet doctor. Do you know what I'm talking about, internet doctor? You can purchase a doctoral degree for $125. Yeah, a doctor of divinity or doctor of the theology or whatever. From the church, I've never heard. Some people like that kind of fame, making themselves to be someone special and trying to compete with God. Folks, listen carefully. Our biggest idol is not the thing in the garage or your job. It's ourselves. Be careful with that idol. Okay? Let's stand up and pray.